Ya Allah, grant me anything that's most pleasing to you. Ya Allah, grant me anything that's most pleasing to you.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madik Channel, welcome to another series of behavior issues. Inshallah Azawajal, another interesting topic we come with today, and that is gang crimes. And the effects of on behavior this has, inshallah, is related to this. So before we go on to our topic regarding gang crimes, let's listen to a benefit of reciting peace and blessings upon the best of mankind, the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, may the person be disgraced who has not recited salat upon me when I am mentioned in his presence. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala. So my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Manichan, whenever we hear the blessed name of the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam, always recite durood, peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam. Today's topic, gang crimes, and we have Dr. Saab with us, inshaAllah azawajal. It's a huge topic again. Gang crimes is, you can say it's building in our society today. And crimes related with gangs, it's increasing. Gangs are being built, and you can say the gangs itself are increasing as well. So where in one time, in one area, there would be one gang, now you find in our society, in one area, there are so many different gangs. And then there are also postcode issues with gang related, so many other things. And Rapsab, gang crimes, where it's starting from my experience of life when I was in school, I remember you actually start building gangs in school itself, mostly secondary schools, certain codes for gangs as well. They'll do a certain dress code, or sometimes it's a certain behavior, or certain way of meeting, or certain words which they're using, or sometimes it's even graffiti, signs, symbols, all sorts of things. And it's actually starting from the school itself, or that sort of age of 12, maybe younger in some cases. And where it leads to, it goes a long way. And sometimes you find today gangs are in prisons. The gangs are not, even a person is locked up, he's committed a crime, he's been locked up, now he still is involved in a gang. There's a gang inside, even in prison. So Dr. Saab, let's start from the psychology side of things. How this is created, how it's put into the child's mind?
Although I'm not an expert in gang crime psychology, but everyone knows that gang crime is increasing, as you quite rightly said. And very sadly, Muslim youth is heavily involved in gang crime and activities. If we were to look at the root causes of where the gang crime actually starts from, I would say that it is the upbringing of the children, and it is the environment within the home that is the first problem. Because what happens is that the parents of these children, either they themselves have certain personalities which these children are adopting, that's number one. Secondly, the parents themselves may not be, you know, related to gangs or so forth. However, they are so strict in terms of parenting that they make the child feel very helpless and powerless. Now, you know that when we are deprived of something, that's exactly what we want to achieve. These children who have got these difficult parents or difficult environment at home, when they go to school, they will try to act it out. Act it out in a sense that they were powerless
at home.
At home.
Mm.
they want to be like their parents and into power with other children, they will then try to become aggressive and they will try to have control over other children. There will be always another one or two, and like we say, birds of a feather flock together. Schools, the environment where these children will get together in the class and they will form a group, and it starts from bullying. So there will be a group of people who will be bullying other group of students who will be bullying other students, and that can be the beginning of gang formation and so forth. And it is the power that these children will get. Why are they power hungry in the first place? Like I said, that their parents may not be giving them that, that their parents may be making them feel like powerless, or there are other problems. There may be an abuse going on with this child. And unfortunately, although most children who are abused, they don't actually go on to abuse others. However, it is not uncommon that those who are abused in one setting, they will go on to abuse others in a different setting. And this is what happens. So family environment, I would say, is one of the causes. If one were to reflect at it in a careful way, then they will identify some of the problems. And thirdly, parents need to realize that it is the bad company. You know, if your child, he may self not have a problem, but he is given this opportunity to exert power over others. And as humans by nature, we are power hungry. We want to be powerful. We want to have authority. We want to have, this control over others. We are control freaks. And then this child may actually, take that opportunity which is being offered. And they will then become part of that gang. So parents need to clear, one of the reasons is the parents are not keeping a close eye on their children.
What you mentioned regarding family effect on the child in the matters of gang. He sees sometimes they're not related to the mother or the father, but you got other relatives, for example, uncles who have been rough or who have, been tough, and the child is seeing them people in his family who've got big gangs or big status, or there's someone who's big known personality, and automatically once he sees someone like that in his family, he wants to be like that.
I mean, this, what I was mentioning, they are like what we call as social factors. But there are some psychological factors which I'd like to bring in this mind, like with the example that you said, that there are uncles or other sort of elder brothers or other sort of cousins who are into this. So there is what we call as a social learning theory from a psychological point of view. What is the meaning of social learning theory is that you learn by imitating others. You can learn by being rewarded yourself as well, but you can learn from others when they are being rewarded for something. So what you are describing is there's an uncle who's got big muscles, who's got a nice car, whatever, and he's very powerful and he's very cool and he does this and he does that and he's got all the power and he's got the fame. So these children, when they are in that 13, 14 years of age, and from a psychological point of view, they want to have that, social status, because this is when, from a psychological development point of view, you reach an age where you want to have a social status.
And sometimes they're actually using that person's personality as a backup as well, to make themselves look big. So it's just mentally, it's there with them. They say, look, my uncle's so-and-so, And you see people out there, and they're using a person's name of who is big in society, who is a gang leader, who is someone big.
And so children will actually, we are now not talking about children, we're mostly teenagers, 13, 14, 15 plus. So they will actually learn that these people have got power. They are being rewarded by being into gangs or otherwise, and we need that as well. They will try to imitate that behavior, and then they will find these other, people who will become part of their group. So from a social learning theory point of view, they see these people, they are displaying the rewards of their, powerful behavior, whichever means they use, clearly wrong means to acquire these rewards and so forth. But from the mind of a teenager, they've actually got these rewards that they can see the other people are getting, so they will be drawn into these. It's the duty of the parents to actually then guide them at that particular stage.
Aksa, one thing I noticed, how easily gangs are built. If you just look at a school life itself, what you have is one classroom. In a year, you may have many, many classrooms. So whatever the classroom you're with, normally the sort of people you're with, everyone seems to join together because you're in the same classroom. And so easily, one classroom starts to fight another classroom, or they, one lot of group of people from this classroom are fighting with the people of that classroom. And this, obviously, this is a startup stage. And then nowadays you have postcode fights and postcode areas, basically. Someone from this postcode can't go into that postcode.
I mean, this, clearly, me being a mental health professional and working in the city of Leicester, I know myself there are postcode areas. Now, what happens, what is the psychology or mentality behind that? This is like a jungle. In the jungles, you have, you know, these animals who have marked their territories.
Mm.
And if another, you know, for example, pack of lions, they've got their territory.
Yeah,
if another male lion tries to enter into their territory, they will now defend their territory. This is the mentality that then comes into the gangs. This is my territory. Mm. They become gregarious in that sense that this is my group, this is my territory. If a person from another gang enters into my territory, I have a right to defend myself. That's their mentality. Now, what happens is, initially it is all power game, but then slowly the more you get into it, then it becomes a survival game as well.
Mm.
Then it is exactly like in the jungle, survival of the fittest. So you will then acquire these muscles, you will then acquire these fighting skills, you will then begin to have weapons on yourself, which is like knife or guns. And sadly, these both of these things are very easily available. So the mentality for that person who's part of a gang, he will actually justify that it is his right to have a knife with him, that just in case the outside the territories, the two groups come across, then they can defend themselves. And either they will defend it with a knife or they will defend it with a gun. There is now a new trend emerging within the gangs, which is that the other person will have a gun on him. So a knife will not be able to protect me. So I need to have a gun to protect myself. For the parents, parents need to have a close eye on their children. They need to have close observation of their children. How come it is possible that your child has got a knife, they've got a gun, they are bringing it in your own home, and you don't know that they've got a gun and that they've got a knife? Where are these parents? And then these parents will say, oh, hamara bachcha pani kharab hai, ladku ne kharab kar diya, you know, the environment has actually made it wrong, I mean, the wrong society has made it wrong, the wrong companies actually done all this, and the school environment has done all this. But this is happening right under the nose of the parents in the same house. This person will be even buying and selling drugs from their own home. This individual's not working, but he's got a flashy car. Well, you know, why don't you raise your eyebrow on these things? There are tens of signs which are screaming out to the parents that there is a problem.
I thought it was just a simple understanding. Who comes knocking on your door asking for your son? To be honest, the parents are not looking at that. What sort of person who has come knocking on the door? What's his behavior like? What's he known out on the street? I remember there's a mention of a pious person, rahimahullah, that he was actually doing tarbiyat on the neighbor's child and not saying anything to his own child. Why? Because simply, he knew that his own child would adopt the company of his friend. And if his friend was in good, automatically his child would be good. And so we, as a parents, you don't see the parents looking at these people, whoever comes to knock on the door, or whoever the children are hanging around with, the parents don't seem to have this concern or even care what sort of style they are in. And this actually gives it away, how the person who's come knocking on the door, how has he given salam? Has he how he's asked or how he stood in front of the door, how is he standing, his dress code. I'm not saying you make a judgment over the dress codes, but these things have an effect on the society of the children. But the parents are so far away from understanding this.
And there are, you know, parents are in a losing battle in this unless they open their eyes. And they don't need to do wonders to actually tackle this issue. They are in the best position to actually help their child from an early on. Like we mentioned these signs, if your child is beginning to behave, if the child is behaving in an aggressive manner to others, this same child will begin to behave aggressively to his siblings as well, brothers and sisters. If there aren't any, the same child will behave aggressively towards his parents. These are the big ring bells that are ringing there. They should be ringing in the ears of the parents, and they need to open their eyes.
Yeah, talking about creating gangs, making gangs, we see that obviously the school plays a role, or the education system where they are going into plays a role. It could be the local park. But even if you keep a child in the home, this also plays a big role, especially social media and the effects of this, and also movies. These play a big role in this, talking about gangs, the showing that the status of these gangs. Obviously, when a child is observing this, is going to be having an effect on him. To make a gang, to be in a gang.
Definitely, you know, the media has a very powerful influence to play in all these behaviors. And I know the media is trying to defend this, that no, they are not. You know, the games, you know, there's a big defense from the game mafia in this day. No, violent games don't have any link with the violent behavior. No, the media doesn't have any link. You know, there's no research study proves that. Well, come on. I mean, you've got so much evidence in front of you that you can see with your wild eyes. And if we talk about from a psychological point of view, there's a whole theory that's called general aggression model. So what does general aggression model actually cover? It covers the effect of how media covers these violent experiences. And there's another theory, what we call as mean world syndrome. What does media cover all the time? This has been shot, there's been this crime, there's been that crime, you know, the deaths are increasing, the drugs are increasing, the gang rivalries are increasing. All the time, the media media is actually promoting this. Now, someone who is involved in gang crime, what are they going to think? They think the world outside there is a jungle. I step out, I will get killed. Why? Because they are directly involved in this. Mm. The one who's not involved in this, even this will scare him, that there are gang crimes and so forth, this graffiti, this area, that area. But this media coverage of violent experiences is having a direct impact on someone who's part of the gang. Why? Because he thinks this directly applies to him, because he's in the gang. He thinks that where another gang has done this, his opposite rival gang is going to do that thing to him as well. Every day they will hear these news and stories, and they are these news stories and the experiences. First of all, they are further affirming their thoughts. And secondly, in the beginning, playing a role to get these people into this. Why? Because we want to imitate these aggressive behaviors. There are many experiments that have been done, even in childhood, that there is a famous experiment with a doll that someone did. A person comes and he punches the doll. Children were observing it. And later on, when the doll was left, the child comes and punches the doll. There's a famous experiment with a doll. A model comes in front of the children, young children sitting, small children sitting. There's a big doll, and he comes and punches the doll. And he goes back. Children are now left with the doll. What do? They come and punch the doll. They are imitating. And similarly, the media is portraying this violent behavior, aggressive behavior. And as these teenagers, what we call them, they are adrenaline junkies. Their adrenaline is rushing. Like what we saw, garam khoon. You know, their adrenaline is rushing. These chemicals in there, they are introducing. The moment they see these images, they see these violent experiences, they want to have that fight response. Mm. You know, we hear when adrenaline goes into our body, we either fight, flight, or we freeze, fright. So these are the types of people who want to fight. So their adrenaline is being pumped by these news media and so forth. So nowadays, quite rightly, you said that, you know, social media is in at the end of your fingertips. So through social media, all the time, you're actually now getting more and more of these news most of the time. And your mind is being framed. So media has got a big influence to play in this case. If parents, Muslim parents, want their children to, be saved from a young age, start, showing Madani channel to your children. Alhamdulillah, there are countless examples where Islamic sisters, they say, expecting mothers, they say that I watched Madani channel, and then when my child was born, they are hooked onto Madani channel. Whenever they see Madani channel, if they are crying, they stop. And I think, these things, as we previously mentioned, have to be set in from a day one. So Madani channel is the antidote for the negative media impact on our children. And then these games, which have got violence and so forth. And again, this aggression, it does play a role. There is this game mafia is actually spending huge amount of money to convince people that games do not have a direct link. Whereas they do have a link. And this link, you don't need a study to prove. You can see. You do an experiment that those people who are violent, how many of these were playing these violent games? Majority of them will be playing these violent games. And then, how many times we have heard that there was a mass shooting and it was on the same style that it was in that particular game? What more evidence do we need? So for parents, yes, I'm not having a debate in the parliament that I need to produce evidence, but we are actually trying to convince the parents of these children that keep them away from these games in the beginning. Who actually introduced these violent games to the children? Parents themselves, either directly by giving them these games or indirectly, but by not observing them, what games they are playing.
Dr. Saab, you said regarding all these things, regarding games and the influence, but the actual fact is a person normally can't do much things on his own. It's always a gang which makes that more, boosts that issue out and makes him do more. For example, if you look at, you rarely find a child who smokes on his own, right? He will be a smoker because the rest of the gang is smoking. So automatically he will become a smoker. And if that rest of the gang goes on to smoking drugs, he will be smoking drugs. If that rest of the gang goes on to carrying a knife, he will be carrying a knife. If that rest of the gang goes on to carrying guns or robbery, theft, he automatically involves in that. Now, parents are, they are sending the children to school. How would they know that this is occurring in school? My son is involved in a gang. How do the parents come to be aware of this? My son's involved in a gang. Normally they find out when it's too late.
Well, they find out. How did they find out? In the late stages, they can find out in the early stages. First of all, obviously, when you here in UK, you do have an option to choose which school you can send. Yes, there are certain restrictions, but you can, to an extent, choose which school your child goes to. So first of all, you actually send the child to a good school. Look at the crime statistics. And very commonly, you do now, there's certain areas where the children, if your child goes into that particular school, there are problems.
Nowadays, they just want the child to walk into the local school so they don't have to take, the parents don't have to take the children to school.
Yeah, there are certain painful things we need to do to earn the reward later on. You know, it's not easy, watering a tree for years and years and years and then reap the reward of the fruit. So same thing applies with the children. You have to take certain painful steps for the effect to be there in the later on life. So first of all, select the school carefully. Secondly, you have an opportunity to actually go to the school and show an interest in the performance of your child via these parents' meetings. They happen at least 3 times a year, two to three times a year. go and have an engagement with the teachers of your child, and you can ask these questions to the teacher there and then. Also, if you don't want to speak in front of your child, you can ask them later on. And most importantly, in my opinion, I'll give an example of, like a hen. Hen, when it has got its chicks with it, but these days, sadly, you don't see these things in this country. But when I was young in Pakistan, every household used to have hens. You know, they will have chicks. And then how a hen protects the chicks? If for a moment,
it's going out,
the chick is going slightly out of that particular area, the mum will actually make that noise, cut, 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 cut off, cut off, whatever. If the chick doesn't come, then the mum will actually, the hen will actually then go to that chick. Why? Because otherwise, the bird of prey will come and pick it. And we've seen it many times. And when the bird of prey does come, we have seen with our own eyes how the hen is trying to fight that. We've got gang individuals knocking on our doors and taking our children out with them, and the parents are not doing anything. So the parents need to be like hens. And when the child goes to the school, they keep an eye. They ask them, "Beta, who's your friend? And do they have any problems?" You can find out by talking to your child. You know, my children go to school. I know that how many children in the class of my child, they have got behavior problems. If the parents don't know, then they're at fault. Their child will actually get into trouble one day or not. Then when the children come back home, they need to be staying in. If they go out, they go out with parents. Or if you are actually letting them out, they have to be under supervision one way or another. You can't leave a child unsupervised out on the streets or out with other people.
That's a big problem today.
It's a big problem. Yeah. And that's where, it's the street guys. You know, when your child's out on the street, you're not observing him, you're not supervising. Who is influencing that child? You have no idea. I have seen as a, in my clinical practice, children being abused in all forms. Why? Because they were on the streets and some predator, abuser, they exploited the weak points of the child, and because there was no one supervising, they lured the child. They groomed these children to take advantage of them. And similarly, gangs are predators. They find these individuals, because not everyone is powerful in the gang.
Mm.
Gang has only got one leader.
Yes.
That leader needs people who follow him, who follow his orders. He can't have everyone powerful in there. Otherwise, he will turn into problem. So they actually pick on these children who have, who can act out, but they will follow as well. And so parents need to be like that hen. They need to be keeping constant eye on their children. And whenever the child is going near the danger area or close to the danger area, before the child reaches there, parents need to be able to actually pick this up and then protect their child.
So before we sort of wrap up this episode, child he's involved in a gang now, right? Parents find out, they know he's involving, he might be the gang leader, whatever. What are the steps as parents should do now? How should they, if someone adopts a specific company, for him to leave the company, it's probably one of the most hardest things.
It is very hard, because once you are into a gang, then these gangs will not allow you to leave.
Yeah.
And if there is any sort of hint that you are trying to leave, they will obviously then even punish you as well. So once you are into a gang, you went in by choice, but you can't leave by your choice. And then these children and even their families get into serious difficulties, because these gangs could then even include the families in victimizing and so forth. To be honest, I don't know how will they do it. However, one thing I would suggest is that parents ask to speak to the safeguarding lead in the school. because there are, every school has got safeguarding lead who are there to
in
actually,
the
their duty in the UK is to prevent children from becoming victim of all sorts of abuse. And this obviously is an abuse. So these safeguarding leaders or leads in the school, they have experience and they will be able to then guide them appropriately the what steps they need to take that their child is now into a gang, and the child may or may not want to come out, but the parents definitely need to get out. Now the parents will need specialist help. And the first point of contact will be the safeguarding lead in the school. They will be more than happy to speak to you, and then they will actually, they are the professionals who are skillful in this, and they will guide you appropriately to help further. And alhamdulillah, also the beautiful Madani environment of Dawat Islami, come and join a beautiful environment of Dawat Islami. Because yes, you got the problem now, this can be dealt with a professional, but you need a long-term solution to prevent these problems from happening with other children in the family, or to then, do remedial actions afterwards. Because it's not right here, right now that you solve and it's gone. No, you need long-term strategies. So both for the prevention and for long-term strategies, the Madani environment of Dawat Islami, I have personally found in many ways extremely useful.
So my dear Islam brothers and viewers on Money Channel, to be honest with you, we've covered this topic of gang crimes in a very short way. Although there's so much more to talk about regarding gang crimes, how this is, how it builds up, how it destroys the lives of children, not just children, but their families. Just think for a moment, if you are involving in yourself with a gang, think before you start involving yourself in a gang, that is, where is this going to lead to? That it could be that this might lead for the destruction of your life, the destruction of your lives of your family. So don't just go into a gang. If you want to become a part of a gang or a part of a group, then the best you can say, we won't say gang, but we'll say a part of a group, then join with the beautiful environment of Dawat Islam, inshallah. This will not only rectify you, but will inshallah help you to able to rectify the lives of other people. So my dear Islam brothers and viewers, I'm going to keep on watching Madani channel. Inshallah, we'll come with another episode regarding behavior issues, inshallah, how we can improve the behavior issues of ourselves, our children, and our society. So keep on watching Madani channel. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam.
Ya Allah, grant me anything that's most pleasing to you. Ya Allah, grant me anything.